So this summer seminar is part of the HERC series on health economics research. So our presenter today is Teiko Minegishi. She's a data analyst for the Partnered Evidence-Based Policy Resource Center, also known as PEPREC. And this is based at the VA in Boston. She's a PhD candidate at Northeastern University in the College of Health Sciences and Population Health. And her dissertation research is focused on quantifying the trade-off between productivity and quality of care within the VA primary care services. So Teiko, I'll turn things over to you now.
Great. Thank you, Jane. Thanks for the introduction. I'm excited to present to you. This is still a pretty preliminary work, but we're getting some interesting results. So we thought it would be great to share some of our findings that we have as of now and get some feedback from the VA economist and research community. So I caveat this as my preliminary work. So the title of my talk is The Trade-Off Between Productivity and Quality of Care in Primary Care Services. This work is in collaboration with my PI and my academic advisor, Stephen Pizer. So the motivation of my work is based on, we know that there is a shortage, an upcoming shortage of physician and nurse, especially in primary care services. And we know that Veterans Health Administration is currently a public health care system with a fixed budget. But the VA management side are very eager to increase access to care. So these things can result in providers to do more with less or same resources. So what if VA tightens its productivity standard for providers and enforce it? And when you do increase productivity for providers, quality of care could decrease. And how much of that could actually decrease? So this is based on this trade-off between quality and productivity is based on economic theory. And in particular, there are a few literature that focuses on this trade-off. And Feld in 2009, Quality of Care in Single-Payer and Multi-Payer Health System is a great study. It's in Journal of Health Politics and Policy and Law, where I quote, in his paper, in a public health care system where resources are scarce, patients can have more health care or higher quality health care, but not both at the same time. So we're going to kind of structure my talk around this premise that you can't have both. There's a trade-off. So I'll go to my first poll question. I think this is where I turn it over to you, Rob.
Yes, and that poll is up. The question being, are you familiar with a supply and demand theory where price is in the y-axis and quantity is on the x? Answer options, yes and no. And Teiko, we have about 65% of your viewing audience having made their choices, so we'll leave things up for a little while longer. Usually levels off around 75 or 80%. And yes, things have leveled off, so I'm going to go ahead and close the poll, share out the results, and let you know that 89% of your viewing audience say that yes, they are familiar, and only 11% say no. Now we're back on your slide.
All right, great. So everything, holding everything else constant, I expected that results based on the audience, that this being a HERC seminar. So holding everything else constant, the demand for product goes down when the unit price decreases, and the supply of quantities increase when the unit price increases. There's this upward sloping supply curve and downward sloping demand curve. That's what we are familiar with in the supply-demand framework. So But when we apply this supply and demand theory in the VA system, mainly because veterans have very little copay and there's not much of a price for patients to pay, and using this Feldman's economic theory, a patient can have more health care or higher quality health care, but not both at the same time. We're going to think about it in the y-axis as the quality of care, and the x-axis as number of visits or quantity. So instead of the supply curve sloping upwards, holding everything else constant, the supply of quantity goes up, but the unit of quality decreases. So we have a downward sloping supply curve. And the demand for product goes up when the unit of quality increases. So we get this down upward sloping demand curve. So it kind of flips things around. So I wanted to orient everybody first that we're putting quality of care on the y-axis. So the challenge is that quantity and quality of care are simultaneously determined. And what we're trying to figure out is what is the supply elasticity of quality with respect to visit. So basically the red line that I'm showing here, where what is the slope of the curve, of the supply curve. So thinking about that, I want to first talk about demand for VA care and how we could think about it. So you can't really measure demand with individual data points. So we think about demand for care at each medical center that might be influenced by. So demand for care can be influenced by changes in number of enrollees. You would expect more care is demanded if you have a reservoir of enrollees surrounding your VA medical centers. Sickness of patients, HERC develops the NOSO score, where it typically used at risk adjustment, but these could be characterizing patients' need for care, how sick they are potentially. Proportion of veterans with high priority status, when studies have shown that higher priority statuses have higher income veterans, and they need less care from the VA and may choose to go outside of the VA. Medicare eligibility, patients who are above 65, many studies have shown that once you are Medicare eligible, half of their care goes outside of the VA. So employment status, which are linked to private health insurance coverages. So if you're employed, if your employer offers health care insurance, veterans who have both VA care and private care might choose to go to private care. And income. This is related to being employed as well, but typically if you have a higher income, you may choose to go outside of the VA. So these variables can influence the demand for VA care depending on how the economy might change in your surrounding areas. And the important thing is that many of these variables are exogenous to VA supply. So some of you might know where I'm going with this, but so if we think of these, so going back to the quality on the y-axis and quantity on the x-axis, and if we think of the supply and demand curve, and if these variables shift the demand for care, so in this specific example, if these variables increase the demand for care, you could shift, the demand would increase, so the quantity of care increases, but as a trade-off, your quality will decrease. So we're thinking about some of these variables that increase demand for care, so maybe higher unemployment could increase the demand for care, but as a trade-off, your quality of care will decrease. So these variables could shift the demand for care and identify the slope of the supply curve. So we're thinking about instrumental variable analysis. In the first stage, we're going to predict the quality of care using exogenous variables that affect patients' demand for VA care. And in the second stage, we measure the trade-off between quality of care and quantity by using this first stage. So stepping back a little bit, talking about quality measures and primary care services, I'm thinking about three types of quality of care measures. So patient experience with providers. So verbal and nonverbal communications are important aspects of quality of care. And when you think about demand for care increases, more appointments are pushed in, providers have less time or feel rushed, that their verbal and it might get reflected in verbal and nonverbal communications. More in a clinical outcome aspect, prevention quality indicators, also known as ambulatory care sensitive conditions. These are outcome related to care that patients receive during their visit, that they receive all the necessary care so they don't have an inpatient admission in the future. And access to care, so if this is another type of care that patients value where longer wait times. So these are the three types of quality care measures that I'm bringing up here, and I will, this leads to my next poll question.
And that poll is now launched. The question being, which of the quality of care measures matter to you and or to your research the most? Patient experience, patient's clinical outcome, access to care, or all of the above? Takeo, we have about half of your attendees having made their choices, so we'll leave things up for a little while longer. And that's jumped right up to over 70%. So I'll just give people a few more moments. And close the poll. And share the results. And let you know that in terms of patient experience, for the answer patient experience, only 9% chose that. Patient's clinical outcome got 19% of your audience. Access to care got 14%. And all of the above received 58%. And now we're back on your slides.
All right, great. That's great. So all of these access quality of care measures matter to everyone. So today in this presentation, I'm going to focus on patient experience. So hopefully most of the people would find some of this helpful. So for patient experience and to measure the quality of care on the patient experience side, we're going to use SHEP data. As most of you know, random sample of primary care patients. In this study, we're going to use 3 years of SHEP data between fiscal year 13 to 15, 36 months, over 127 VA medical centers. Something that I thought might be useful for some of the research that people who use SHEP, is that just looking at the data, I just found this out like a couple days ago, so it's pretty fresh, and I had to modify some of the results here, is that I found out that PCMH surveys, the primary care surveys, the SHEP has changed their sampling scheme. So how they sample their patients have changed, and if you look at it in an aggregate level over time, between fiscal year 13 to 15, in most of the survey questions, the response patterns tends to be downward sloping, meaning that as the ear increases, the patient response tends to be slightly more negative. However, due to the sampling method change in FY16, if you look at it in aggregate level, their response pattern changes, meaning that it gets highly positive. So I caution some of the researcher, if you do use any of the SHEP data, especially in specifically for primary care SHEP data, and if you are looking at it in an aggregate level by station perhaps, I would caution you to use it longitudinally, especially between fiscal year 15 and 16. There's a big jump. And I just wanted to mention that for perhaps other people's benefit, because I just recently found out and had to scramble a little bit. So just with that, so for that reason, I'm using fiscal year 13 to 15, which is consistent in terms of sampling scheme and the questions. And I'm focusing on 5 questions. When demand for care is high, providers are rushed and have less time with their patients, and how that might be reflected in the patient experience survey. So the 5 questions I chose are, starts with, in the last 12 months, how often did this provider, 1, explain things in a way that was easy to understand, 2, listen carefully to you, 3, show respect for what you have to say, 4, spend enough time with you, and 5, seem to know the important information about your medical history. So these are collected in 4-point Likert scale, so never, sometimes, usually, and always. And what we also found from between these 5 questions, their response pattern are highly correlated to each other. So most of the patients, if they respond positively to any one of these questions, they most likely will respond positively to all 5 questions. So we didn't see the point of separating these 5 questions, so we decided to create a composite measure where patients answered usually or always to all 5 questions was coded as 1, as positive, and all other responses were coded as 0, as not satisfied. So this is from a earlier study that I've done where I looked at the relationship between the positive response pattern, so the 5 composite measure, 1 being positive, they were satisfied with their care in verbal and nonverbal communication with their providers, and the relationship with a market factor such as employer-sponsored insurance rate. The employer-sponsored insurance rate here is categorized in quantiles. So the reference is the first quartile and increasing to the on the x-axis. So as you can see here, as the employer-sponsored insurance rate increases, the odds of having a positive response in the composite measure of the patient experience increases. And similarly, this is a result from the same study using housing price index, where we show the housing price index on the x-axis, and as the housing price indexes are increasing, the odds of positive patient experience are decreasing. And we explain this housing price index as it captures basically the housing price. But what we understand is a lot of the veterans are mainly renters, not owners of the homes. So what the housing price index, this indicator shows, is that when the HPI, housing price index, increases, the rents go up. So as the rent goes up, they're more financially constrained. So the demand for VA care increases, and hence the patient experience might decrease. So we saw some promising results for the first stage where we might be able to predict quality of care using exogenous variables that affect patients' demand for VA care. So in the second stage, we measured a trade-off between quality of care and quantity. So we used this on the second stage for a quantity measure. We're going to use a production function to describe the relationship between quantity of inputs and quality of outputs at the, that the hospital produces. So here I want to clarify what my inputs and outputs are. So for my outputs, in primary care visits seems to be the rational one. We also consider relative value units. So relative value units reflects the patient-provider activities during their visit, including time spent with patients. In this particular study, this could be a problem because we are using patient experience surveys as a quality measure, and higher RVU means or suggests that they have more time spent with patients, which means patient experience will be positive. So if we use RVU as output, the patient experience as quality of care measure is a bad control. So in this presentation, I'm going to focus on number of visits as our outcome. And for inputs, we use number of full-time employee as a supply. And we also use the exogenous identify quality of care and capital. So currently, we don't really have a good measure for capital where we could identify that, like, perhaps characterize clinic space, perhaps, in primary care. So this is a omitted variable. So kind of presenting the whole equation in the build up to this presentation in an equation, we're going to use the first stage, we're going to use a production function using two-stage least squares. So in the first stage, we're going to predict for quality using instruments and the second stage variables. And here we're going to control for time using fiscal year and month dummies. And this will be a fixed effect specification at a facility physical month year level analysis. And in the second stage, we'll predict for quantity, which will be number of visits, and controlling for inputs and the predicted quality. So predicted quality, where we expect a negative sign on the beta 2, and controlling for time and fixed effects. So we also normalize all of the variables to the mean and log transformed, so the coefficient can be interpreted as elasticity. So jumping into my results, so this is the first stage results where we used instruments such as percent employer-sponsored insurance, number of enrollees, mean patient age, percent of patients in good or excellent health, self-reported health. This coming, the mean age and the self-reported health are coming from the SHEP survey results. And also controlling for, we also used average NOSO scores for the first stage. So all of the coefficient signs seems to make sense. Higher employer-sponsored insurance rate, as I presented earlier in the slide, that increases alternative health care for veterans, so we would expect a positive quality of care, or patient experience. Higher enrollees, that increases demand, so lower quality of care. And mean patient age, so the average of the SHEP respondents were 67 years old, so which means that the higher age probably means that they are Medicare eligible. A higher proportion of patients with that are Medicare eligible, and better health patients need less care, which leads to the last NOSO score coefficient, which we expected this to be a negative sign. As I briefly discussed, NOSO scores are created by HERC and are typically used as risk adjustments, and higher NOSO scores suggest patients are sicker and require more care from potentially from the VA. So this was unexpected. The sign, this positive sign here is unexpected, and I still need to kind of explore a little bit more. But in terms of the strength of the instrument and the first stage, we passed the stock and Yogo test. So we think that the first stage might be working. And now on to the second stage. So here I'm going to start in stages. I'm going to show you the results without fixed effect, just so you can see the between VA medical center variations. So here we see the inputs as primary care FTEs, quality of care, and controlling for time. So for inputs, number of FTEs, we see a return to the scale where 1% increase in FTE produces 1% increase in production, which kind of gave us a little bit grounding of that this return to scale that we saw return to scale on this here. And for quality of care, we see a negative sign both in the naive and the IV specification. With IV specification, we see about a 50% increase in the size of the coefficient. So this suggests that larger VA medical centers, which would produce more number of visits, have lower patient experience. So within the VA medical center analysis, so including the fixed effects analysis, we still see a positive sign with the FTEs, but the return to scale kind of goes away. So here we see a 1% increase in FTE results in 30% increase in production, which I don't really have an explanation for yet, but something that I'm thinking about is that the number of FTE doesn't necessarily result in an increase in production just because there may not be enough space for to accommodate the increase of FTEs, perhaps. So the capital isn't included again. So this is still a little bit of, I'm still trying to figure this part out. And for quality, I highlight it here. So in the naive specification, we see a negative sign, but it's not statistically significant. On this model 5, we have a, with the instrumented quality, we see a statistically significant and a much larger coefficient where we see this suggests that 1% increase in quality will decrease in 0.8% in production. What I wanted to point out here is that the quality seems to be highly correlated with time. I am not showing you month coefficients because actually it's really the year coefficients that make this coefficient switch from negative 4 to 0.8, which is a dramatic change here. So we time actually controls most of the quality of care here, the effect here. So just kind of wrapping up with most my main findings. So my first stage, the variation, the first stage suggests that the variation of employer-sponsored insurance rate, number of enrollees, patient risk scores, patient age, and self-reported status are good instruments to predict patient experience in primary care services. The between medical center analysis, which is the second stage without the fixed effects, shows a return to scale where 1% increase in staff shows a 1% increase in output. 1% increase in visit will result in 1.9% reduction in patient experience, so a larger VA medical center have lower patient experience. Now, including with the fixed effects, so looking within the medical center analysis, 1% increase in physicians will result in 0.3 increase in production. 1% increase in quality of care reduces the production by approximately 0.8%. And primary care patient experiences are highly correlated with fiscal year. So there's limitations and lots of next steps. As I mentioned earlier, this is still a preliminary and preliminary analysis. So I will probably try alternative market factor variables as instrument and see if I can do a falsification test just to test our instruments better. And for the production function, there are limitations. We're still missing capital. If you have any ideas, I'm all ears. Also, some other studies with a similar line of work, people have considered including alternative workforce, such as nurses, as complements and substitutes. So we might consider doing that as well. And alternative specification and interpretation of the results still has to come. And here, one of the limitations is that efficiency is not explicitly included, but we're controlling time, so we're assuming that the efficiency is increasing over time and across the board at all facilities. So that's one of our limitations and assumptions. And this is only one dimension of quality of care. So in my future work is to try another type of quality of care measure that is tied to clinical outcomes. So as I mentioned earlier, the PQIs or ambulatory care sensitive conditions, I would use that as the first as a quality of care measure to try to measure the trade-off and see if that would support what I'm finding here or complement what I'm finding here. So that pretty much wraps up my presentation. It's a little bit early, but I'll end with our email and contact of our center.
Great. Thank you, Keiko. So I just want to encourage attendees, if they have any questions, they can go to the Q&A panel and type in their question, and then I can read it off so Keiko can answer the questions. I had a couple of clarifying questions to start. We looked at quantity of visits and quality. Is this for all VA care, or is this specifically for primary care?
Yes, and this is for primary care. I've put it on a title, but I do forget to mention that during my presentation. But this is specific to primary care.
Okay, so you looked at outpatient visits for primary care.
Correct.
That's your outcome.
Yeah.
And was that total number of visits per patient, or is that total number of visits at the VA facility?
Yes, this is total number of visits at the VA facility controlling for ear month, by ear month.
Great. Okay. Mm-hmm. So there are a couple of questions in the queue. So the first one is, efficiency is one of the limitations. How is efficiency defined in this study?
Right. So efficiency isn't explicitly controlled. So what we're assuming by controlling for time, that efficiency is constantly increasing. So, but that is definitely, it's not explicitly controlled. So it is a major limitation.
Okay. The next question asks, how were the IVs identified?
How were the IV identified? Meaning, so the instruments that I have are basically, we call them demand variables, which affects the demand for care. So these are market factors such as employer-sponsored insurance, enrollees, survey patients' health. These are instruments that we use to identify the quality of care. So we're predicting for quality of care with these exogenous variables, and then using that quality of care, we're measuring the trade-off between output and quality of care.
I do have a question about one of those IVs. So you said employer-sponsored insurance. So you would think that that would also be related to your outcome variable, number of visits, because if more veterans have employer-sponsored insurance and they're less likely to use VA care, then number of visits in that VA would be low compared to another VA, right? So, how are you thinking about that?
Yeah, so we think that it affects the demand for care. So it alters the demand for care and then affects the quality of care first. So I guess what we think of it, which I could test, I guess I should show a figure that if the employer-sponsored insurance rate is actually changing the number of outputs, which these are regional employer-sponsored insurance and not necessarily specific to veterans. So the way that we think about it, at least in our theory, is that we think that the employer-sponsored insurance rate, so the proportion of people in the area that have higher, if they have higher employer insurance rate, the demand for VA care in that region will be lower. So with that, because the demand for care is lower, you have a higher patient experience. And that it's not directly, it's only going through the quality of care, not directly the number of appointments. It doesn't really affect the number of appointments because we're looking at the regional changes in employer-sponsored insurance.
Maybe you could clarify how is you're defining demand for care. How is that different from your outcome number of primary care visits? I would think number of primary care visits would be a measure of VA demand.
Yeah, so VA demand you can't necessarily, I guess we tried to measure by using different variables, but the way we're, it's not a, the way we think about it is that because it's, let's see, I'm trying to like think of a better way to explain. So
demand is usually expressed in terms of utilization. So you would see higher utilization when there's greater demand, but that's also your dependent variable in the second stage.
So, right. So the demand for care is, the employer-sponsored insurance is only affecting the demand for the demand curve and not the supply curve. So I guess what we're measuring, what our outcome measure is the trade-off, the supply curve, where and then the way we, so I guess kind of using the supply and demand curve, where we see that the supply curve is only identified by the number of inputs and outcome. So we're using the production function as input and output. So using that specification, we can, the employer-sponsored insurance will only affect the demand. And through demand, the changes in demand, we're trying to measure the slope of the supply curve.
Okay. Thank you for that explanation. I don't want to spend too much time on that because there's a couple other questions that came in the queue. The next question asks, for capital, could you use overall VA primary care funding per year as a general measure?
Maybe perhaps if there's a breakdown by facility of the overall funding, that could be broken up into by facility. I think that could be a promise. That could be a capital measure that we could use. If anybody actually knows where I could potentially get access to that, that would be tremendously helpful.
Okay. There is something called the ALBCC, the Account Level Budget Cost Center. So you can get the total spending in the VA for different cost centers. So there could be cost centers that are related to primary care, for example. But then there are some categories that are difficult to assign. So, for example, there could be funding spent in primary care that doesn't necessarily have a primary care specific cost center. So just
okay.
wanted to throw that out there as a possible resource.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
The next question asks, where is this published?
Oh, it's not published yet. It's still a work in progress paper. I hope to publish towards the end of this year. That's the goal. But it's not in publication form yet. Very preliminary.
Great. Yeah, I think you mentioned this was part of your dissertation work, right?
Yes.
Hopefully you would finish your dissertation first.
Yes, exactly.
So the next question asks, the recent high reliability initiative places a lot of focus on improved quality of care. How do you think this may impact your study?
Yeah, so I think it would be, so if we could reliably measure this trade-off, what we could potentially talk about is that, the question was increase in quality of care? Right, that's the push.
Yeah, there's a new initiative.
Oh, there's a new initiative.
I'm not that familiar with it, so if this person could provide more details, it's helpful. But there's apparently a new initiative that places a lot of focus on improved quality of care. So they're asking, how do you think this initiative would impact your study?
So I should caveat first that this is only one dimension of quality of care that we're looking at here, and I'm hoping to do a little bit more study on the clinical outcomes. But caveating that, this study suggests that basically theory says that you can't have both high production and high quality of care all at the same time, holding everything else constant. So I guess one of the initiatives could be if there is a set standard that either the medical centers might have to meet. That means there's going to be there has to be some trade-off in the production side, so decreasing production. So, but a lot of people, perhaps this new initiative may not actually take that in consideration. So, what we're hoping to do with this study is that to make people aware that you can have both, and there's a trade-off. And then the question is how much trade-off there is, and does that matter to you? So, for example, if the 1% increase in quality of care only results in reduction of it's production of like 30%, basically, is what it shows in my very preliminary study. So does that matter to the provider or to the management side? So I think the study's motivation is to be useful in terms of making these decision points of like how much do you want to push. Sure, you want to increase quality of care. That's great, and that's very important. But do we understand that that would potentially make the waiting times longer because there has to be some sort of trade-off unless you increase your resources?
Okay. So based on this work, like, what would be some policy recommendations that you would give to a VA facility that wanted to have both good access and high quality? What would you say, like, you're saying there's a trade-off between quality and access. But that's at the same level of resources. So if you wanted to have improved access and quality, you would need a higher level of resources.
I think that's what would kind of come down to it. And also, maybe one of the other things that we could consider is that because there is a trade-off, but if we are able to measure that trade-off, you can potentially make some decision points where your baseline quality of care is really good. So as a facility, you can afford to lose a little bit of quality of care, but you really need to increase the access to care where waiting time is too long. So depending on what the key issues are at the facility, research could be interesting tool to think about how you make your decisions.
Okay. And just curious if you had any thoughts about, like, there's a lot of new initiatives on, like, community care and telehealth as part of increasing access to care. Do you think your work has any implications for that part of, VA initiatives?
This is work in the VA outpatient, so we're not capturing any of the community care side of services. And I think we can expand this idea. Obviously, not directly what I've presented here is this is all within VA, but I think we can use these, theoretical thought experiment and trying to quantify these measures can be applied to community care and expanding telehealth, because those are actually, I can't speak too much about community care so much, but in telehealth, I can imagine that you can have more, I'll call them visits, because my measure of output is visit right now, but you can have more visits with a shorter amount of time. And so I think that would definitely change the dynamic. I think that's a upcoming and important field to kind of consider how these telehealth actually improves the access, and potentially if the quality is good, I think is as good as what you would receive in in-person care, perhaps that is another way to increase access.
Yeah, definitely. And hopefully these programs could, also alleviate some of the pressures on VA providers, what you're saying is there's this trade-off in quality that perhaps, sending patients outside or getting telehealth could perhaps, in that sense, maintain the quality of care while improving access in some ways.
Yes, great point, yes.
So it doesn't look like we have any more questions from the attendees, but if you have any further questions once this seminar concludes, feel free to reach out to TACO directly. We really appreciate your time in preparing and giving this presentation today. I don't know if you wanted to say any final words, or Rob, if you wanted to do any follow-up.
Yeah, I just wanted to thank the opportunity for me to present my very preliminary work to the research community, and all the feedbacks are appreciated. Thank you. Thanks, Jean and Rob.